Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are at 9:30. This, I guess, will be the end of the month for us. Yep. That was a quickie.
Yep. And beginning of the next month, actually. Most people will start listening to this on the 1st of October, 2014.
Yes, 30 days past September.
Yes.
Huh. So, short month.
Very short month. Well, over here, it seems to be getting dark all of a sudden sooner.
Yeah. No, same thing here. 7 o'clock, 6:30 is getting dark. And I guess the summer's over. We're doomed.
Done. So lots of things going on in the news. I don't even know where to begin. There was, I guess we got to talk about the Ebola situation and Hong Kong and commodities. Commodities really got whacked this year, this quarter. They were, between gold and silver and copper and oil. Oil hit its lowest point in a long time. I think something about 91 and a half or so. The euro is like at 126.
The euro's down to 126.16 on my chart.
Yeah. And what's interesting about that is, I think, and you talked about this, you said like too much central bank intervention is what is going to be the possible straw that breaks the back, right?
Yeah.
I talked about, possibly it's going to be technology, this whole cloud thing. We didn't even bring up Ebola in the United States, but we'll put that aside for a second. Commodities are just getting crushed. The dollar just keeps on going up. And what we're finding is that it's starting to see a great amount of headwinds to a lot of companies. And on top of that, it's good in certain respects that commodity prices are coming down. But, you know, it's kind of nonstop. Gold, silver, oil, copper, platinum, just all getting dumped. Now, there was some rumor today after silver was down about 3%, and it's unconfirmed, that there was a hedge fund that blew up.
Yeah, you mentioned this. What's that all about? Does anybody have any gossip about this?
I mean, that's what we're hearing, because usually when you see this kind of flush go on, what happens is, let's set the stage here. So let's talk about a commodity fund, and these are oftentimes called CTAs. And these CTAs manage commodities, and they do it on leverage, because commodities naturally, the futures on commodities are naturally heavily leveraged.
Yes.
So
easiest way to go broke.
Right, exactly. So if they had a position, let's say long gold, long silver, long oil, and it starts going against them, well, there could be a point that it goes against them and all of a sudden it's kind of like a margin call.
Yeah, you're wiped out.
You're wiped out and you can go real hard the wrong way. So it's possible what they did was, before this goes on and when you see the flush out of a market, that maybe they were just bailing. You know, kind of just saying, okay, get out while we can get out. Close this trade. So maybe they were long the trade on gold or silver, and it kind of got so bad that they had to say, you know what, if we don't get out now, we're going to just really implode. So what they do is they dump their shares or their positions, and it just takes it all down pretty hard. I don't know if that's the final flush, but the dollar, let's see where it is now. Oh, my God, it's doing it again. I'm just looking at the futures this evening. Look at that, gold and silver coming down because the dollar is going up again. Right now, let's see here. The euro and the yen are flying again on the going down.
Yeah. No, the yen is outrageous.
Outrageous, and it's still going.
Yeah, it's right now going 9 and going up.
Yep. Some currencies are just off the hook, like the New Zealand dollar and a few others are just getting just pummeled. Don't forget, those are the countries that have a lot of commodity exposure, like Australia, New Zealand. But I still think there's a lot of Russia involved here. You know, Russia's talked about seizing assets of in foreign countries, and there was a whole discussion. That's what happened last week on Thursday when the market came down like 1.5%. There was a real scare that Russia was going to be able to go out and just start seizing assets. And there was some other discussion today about Russia.
What kind of assets are they going to seize?
They would seize foreign assets, and so what they would do is they would go on the offensive. How we are closing down their banks, basically, in the financial system with all the various kinds of things that we're doing for that against them. Well, in the sanctions, what they would do is they would possibly go and they would seize assets of any companies or any people that have maybe assets in Russia.
Oh, so all these people that did deals in Russia.
Yep, or that maybe have investments in Russia.
Yeah, they just seize them.
Yep.
Well, I could see that. This seems like an act of war to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would do the same thing if I were them.
Well, it's not really good because a lot of people have maybe investments in Russia that are, you know, just innocent bystanders here.
Well, yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. Well, then they should bitch the U.S. government.
Right. Well, and what are they going to do? Nothing. This is, I mean, don't forget, you look at it from either side, right? So we believe we're right because all this is going on and we're going to put sanctions on them. They're sitting there going, what are you doing? You're crushing us. We think it's right. We're going to come after you. Very bad situation. A lot of bad situations.
Essentially a trade war.
Right. And in the same time, we're also having a currency war, which is a different overtone to the whole thing. It's not against you. It's a for us. You follow what I'm saying? It's not like we're going to do something against you. What we're going to do something is for our benefit. Now, if it hurts you, okay, well. So like what's happening with the dollar or the yen or the euro. I mean, really, big problems in terms of if this continues. So what happened with Japan's market? And don't forget, also, a rising dollar tamps down inflation. Makes things that we're buying much cheaper.
Well, since we buy most of our stuff comes in from overseas.
Right. So we're going to see what happens moving forward with this, but I would think we're going to see a flush out of this shortly. I can't imagine the dollar continue to rise. We'll see Friday. Friday is a big number. We're going to see the official unemployment rate come out of the government. We see a taste of it tomorrow with the ADP numbers, but the big one's coming. Expectations for a 6.1% unemployment rate continuing and about 220,000 jobs added. Now, last month, we were shy of that. Of course, nobody cared. But, you know, the whole idea right now is if we're going to do the connect the dots deal with mm-hmm. the Fed, you know, and if we have stronger numbers, it's, I don't know, you know, right now, basically the Fed here is saying, hey, we're going to slow down on a stimulus. The Fed or central bank in Europe is saying, hey, you know what, we're throwing in the kitchen sink. And the Japanese says, ah, to hell with the yen, we're going to kill it. So if you just follow that, why would you invest in anything but the dollar?
Yeah, which would just exacerbate things. It would right. just make it, yeah. That's what. Yeah, you're right, I think.
So I'm still...
So the dollar should continue going up.
Yeah, I'm still sticking by my position in gold and silver, but I'm not happy about it. We dropped it down pretty hard about 3-4 weeks ago, but still kind of painfully holding on to a small position there.
Hmm.
So eBay is spinning off PayPal finally.
Yeah, I it's funny when they announced that. For some reason, I was under the impression that I was thinking, obviously, it was transposing my thoughts about Skype. But I was thinking, I thought PayPal was independent. But then I realized that I wasn't thinking clearly.
Now, what's interesting about this is that, first of all, I got a text from a friend who says, oh, the CEO of eBay is stepping down and they're spinning off PayPal. That should be really bad for the stock. This is not a person in finance. And I thought about that. I'm like, you know, that's probably what people think. Like, it's not good for eBay, right? They're spinning off their most profitable division, and their CEO's leaving. That's the kind of the
it's a 1-2 punch.
Yeah, but it was
to an amateur.
Right, to an amateur. But it was very good, actually, because they'll be able to unlock the differential between the valuation, number one. And number two, they're still going to hold a large piece of it, of course.
Sure.
They're not going to get rid of it. They're not divesting of it. They're just spinning it off.
Right.
And what's interesting about this is, if you think about it, there's other companies like an Alibaba who may be interested in using now PayPal as their payment provider. Because before, if they were to do so, they're kind of helping the competition.
Right. And it could still be helping the competition, yes. But it won't be so obvious.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And on top of that, since they're an independent company, they may have requirements for confidentiality. The deal that they're going to do is with PayPal. And again, it's going to be a direct deal. Now, just like EMC and VMware, or you know, pick whatever companies out there. They're still related. They still benefit from the financials of it, of course. But if they spin it out, now you have more of a wall between them. So this could be very good to expand the use of PayPal to other other places, you know, all over the place, and they won't have to worry about eBay being involved.
Hmm.
So that's kind of, I thought it was kind of interesting. You know, I don't know. Do we need another payment solution? Maybe.
Well, there's a lot of attempts to make other payment solutions that have not gone very far. There's a bunch of them out there. eBay, of course, your friend with the 1-2 punch, I hope he didn't do anything because I see eBay's up 7.5% on this news.
Right. No, he didn't do anything. He was sick in bed.
That's your best bet for most investors.
No, but you know, this is good for eBay. This is a Carl Icahn move. He's been pressing for this for a long time. So this was another good one for Icahn. That guy at 70 or 80, whatever he is, pretty impressive.
Yeah. Well, you know, you see it enough times, you can get a clue.
Now, speaking about older men and what they're doing and how good they are or bad, Bill Gross was in the news this week. I don't know if you know who that is.
That's the guy from the Washington, D.C. insider of some sort.
He's actually he's the founder of PIMCO, which is a massive mutual fund complex, which was bought by Allianz a few years back.
Right.
He runs the largest, I mean, large bond fund.
It's, right.
PIMCO Total Return Fund, and he was with Muhammad Al-Aryan, and he brought him in, and then he abruptly left in January, citing some differences, but of course publicly saying that he just wants to spend more time with his family. All these little catchphrases, right? And then there was some other scuttlebutt and some question about what was going on there for a while. And actually, we own shares of PIMCO Total Return for our clients. We started to sell that off throughout the year. And then last Thursday or Friday, there was an announcement. He's leaving. He's leaving the company he founded. He's leaving without a severance package. He doesn't have any like a non-compete or anything like that. He's leaving, just leaving, gone. I think he's 70 years old.
Yes, he's 70.
And he's been on and off right and wrong about the bond market, but he is definitely known as like the bond guru, the bond king. Okay,
is he the guy who came out and predicted the huge bond collapse that was supposed to occur at the end of last year?
Yeah, he was definitely selling bonds. He was definitely getting out of treasuries, and then he went back in. He caught himself, which was kind of cool, actually. You know, he didn't stick with his guns when he was wrong. He said, "You know what? I'm wrong. I'm going to change over." But the word is that management was having a real tough time with him. And I don't exactly know. There's not a lot of things out there of what's gone on. But one of the things I'll tell you is that a lot of the team was going to quit if he didn't quit. Supposedly he was going to be fired anyway, like a day or two later.
Wow.
And what he did is he went over to Janus. Now, this is kind of interesting. Janus, which is known as a stock mutual fund company, really just a growth play. So he's going to be running like a $14 million fund. This is a guy who's running like a $200 billion mutual fund. And he's going to take over one of their small funds, maybe making it easier for him to trade because, at $200
billion. Well, he gets to spend more time with his family.
Yeah, that also. But I thought two things were very interesting. Number one, he left and he went to Janus. Guy's worth about $2.6 billion.
Okay.
It's not like he needs a job for a paycheck. I don't think.
No.
Okay. And he leaves very quickly, and he goes over to Janus. Now, Janus stock on the day that he left trades under the symbol JNS. It was up about 30%, thinking that he's going to be able to bring over a lot of assets over to Janus. Now, meanwhile, the PIMCO Total Return Fund in the last week or so lost about $500 million. Not to mention our money, too. We sold out on that news. Now, one of the things that's interesting about this, and really interesting if you dig deep into the thought about this, is if there's a lot of money that's going to be sold because, you were there for Bill Gross, right? So, and then you start hearing stories, and there's a lawsuit against them by the SEC, I believe it is, against the Total Return Bond Fund, or Total Return ETF. It's supposedly a ETF version of the PIMCO Total Return Fund. Trades under the symbol BOND, bond. Started thinking about this. I'm thinking, there's going to be a mass exodus from this, and this is really going to disrupt potentially the bond market, right?
It might.
We're not talking about just a small amount. Now, bonds that he had traded probably pretty liquid, and somebody may jump ship to go somewhere else. And if they go somewhere else, so they're going to go into one of his other bond funds. They're going to go into cash. Right now, we put our money into cash till we decide. And are they going to go into another similar fund and buy the same bonds? And if not, this could be a little blip in the bond market for the next foreseeable future.
Could also trigger a collapse.
Yeah, there's some rumor that there could be a exodus of upwards of $100 billion could leave. $100 billion.
That would be notable.
That's pretty impressive. Although that's only like 1 month's worth of the original quantitative easing program that the Fed had, right? Didn't they do $85 billion a month?
Yeah, yes. I think they're still doing a good amount a month.
$10 billion now. But I thought this was pretty interesting, and I started thinking more about this, like, what's going on? You know, you got the second-in-command leaves, and then there's some weird stuff that happens, and all these other people. I think there's something wrong with him. And I mean this...
Something wrong with him?
Yeah, I don't mean this meanly. I mean, it sounds like this, like, maybe a little, I don't know, like Alzheimer's or something. Something's going on. Dementia.
Oh, that could be.
You know, because it happens. And I, it's total speculation, and I'm not saying this is fact, but it just seems like, you know, something's happened to him where he can't work with others, or maybe others are not able to work with him because they feel that his ability to make decisions is, there's something not right. So.
Well, it can be. I mean, it's not unusual. It's not off. It's not completely off the wall that something like that would happen to someone.
Right. So. Well, it happens all the time. GoPro, you want to talk about GoPro, by the way?
Most of the time, a lot of these guys will stick around and stay in their main job till they're 75, you know, pushing 80. I mean, look at Buffett. How old is that guy?
About 97. He's always like 82?
I don't know.
Oh, go ahead, go look.
But he is pretty, you know, still sharp and not about to quit. He's 84.
Wow. How old is Charlie Munger?
Munger?
Yeah, he's the co-founder.
Co-founder of what?
Of
Hathaway?
Of Berkshire Hathaway, yeah. He's the secondary guy. He's born in 24.
Yeah, he's 90.
Wow.
And he's still kicking.
He's going.
These guys should realize they're not going to kick it with.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about GoPro. So there's a big article, I think it was in Barron's, saying that some guy downgraded it. You know, the Fed is going to kind of get whacked, and this is going to go away. And, you know, and of course, on those comments, stock went vertical. Went to $91.
Yeah.
They announced the GoPro Hero. Now, I happen to look at this device. I'm like, all right, what is it? What's so exciting about this, right? Versus slapping on an iPhone onto your head or utilizing a camera and all that. It's pretty neat with the Bluetooth. Wi-Fi, the high impact, you know, resistance of it, underwater ability. You can take pictures, you can take video. There's just a whole bunch of cool things with this, and I'm not sure what I would do with this, but I thought it was pretty cool, this new device they have.
I like these guys. I mean, they've taken essentially what most cameras out there can do what this camera does. I mean, this is not like, you know, an old pocket camera from 5 years ago that has 720p. Can take these same sorts of videos, although I would say I think the newer one does 1080, and they've got all these new features.
It says 4K it does.
Oh, it shoots 4K?
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. And that it's Wi-Fi enabled, and you can just, I guess, pop it, and you know, if you're in any distance of a Wi-Fi, and get it up to your friends or family.
Yeah, yeah. No, like, I mean, they've taken... they've done pretty well for themselves. I don't know whether it's... anything. It's pretty, I still think of it as pro gear. The only people who seriously buy these things are literally pros. People shooting movies, people that work in the television industry that have to do remotes.
No, this is $500.
Yeah, that's about right.
$500. You don't have to be a pro. It's anybody. You know, you slap it on, you just, you know.
But if you've ever used one.
Oh, yeah.
Believe me, it's... You have to be patient with it.
Yeah.
It's not like a button you push and you... There's the menuing. There's just... You have to have a manual to use the thing properly. I know the original ones, you had to go into the... It was junky to use it. I mean, you can get it to work. It worked great. But getting it to do what you want, it's not like a menu system on a Canon or a Nikon camera.
Well, the new one also has... I don't think the old ones had a screen or an LCD screen where you can, you know, view and see what's going on.
No.
The new one does.
Well, good.
That helps it. Check out the site. I think it's kind of neat. I'm not recommending the stock. As a matter of fact, Citron Research just initiated a short on it. These guys usually can take a stock down in a matter of minutes.
These are
famed short sellers.
Hmm.
These guys can crush a stock faster than you could read the news item. Why?
Huh.
Yep. So the stock...
Might be a good one for me to pick as a short.
Yeah, maybe. GoPro was, let's see, up to another 2.5% today at 93.
Yeah, that's a short.
I think it's kind of cool. But anyway, another...
Cool. I mean, and they got this new... The funny thing is they had this... They got this new little device. It's got like a handle, and you put the camera and you point it at yourself, and then you can do walk around reports, you know. And so and so, you put yourself, you mic yourself up. But I've seen this technique used like, I don't know, 5 years ago. So really, they're just taking advantage of the. These guys are smart, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why the guy should be a billionaire for this camera, but okay.
Yeah, well, because they have it out and nobody else does. In this, you know, to make it as easy as it is. I mean, why? Why did the the Apple iPod make it when Diamond Rio didn't? Because they made it easy and made it the timing was right and all that. So
it was a lot of variables. Yeah. Yes.
All right. So the sector with the housing, the Zillows, the Trulias, and all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Zillow's buying Trulia, and that was exciting for a few days. And there's a big article about how they're not worth anything. Another company called Move. I think that was bought today by News Corp. So I don't think there's anybody left. That's it in the industry. That's out. So I'm thinking that HomeAway is another one of those names that I've liked for a while.
What?
HomeAway.
HomeAway,
they have several different properties. They have HomeAway. They have Vacation Rentals by Owner. They have Vacation something or other. Like, they have three different properties. And thing is that you probably know this one. Out by you, I think it's popular, is Airbnb.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, same thing. Same basic concept. You know, I use them actually for my rental property. We have a nice little thing.
You don't use Airbnb?
Nope, I don't.
Why?
Airbnb is more of a metropolitan type of deal, and it's also a different setup deal. This is I just pay a fee for. I pay like $700 a year. And I have a whole management system. I have a whole billing system. I have a whole reservation system. And
you make money?
Oh, yeah. A lot.
What do you mean, oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
You make a lot of money on that rental property you have out in the middle of nowhere where the midges are?
Yes. I mean, I think I cleared 40 last year from it.
What?
Well, I think I netted 20, 22.
That includes, you netted 20. That's not bad.
All right. What I did was a couple things. So one of the things I did was I set up a website dedicated to the house, lplakehouse.com, mm-hmm. and really beefed up the pictures and all that. And then I set up a whole system where if somebody comes in for a reservation through Salesforce, what we do is it automatically creates a lease, it automatically bills them, it automatically asks them for a review, it automatically sends them their documents, sends an email to them, sends an email to the housekeeping staff, blah, 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 all the people that do things, tell them who's coming, when they're coming. Send them a text message when they arrive. We give them a nice bottle of wine when they arrive from a local vineyard in Florida with these muscadines.
Ooh, nothing like muscadine wine.
Exactly. Raisin wine is way up there too, I guess. or something. But so we have the whole thing going on, and they love it. People love it there. It's a nice place. Five bedrooms.
Oh, it's got five bedrooms.
Yeah, I can sleep 12. Got a dock.
Oh,
yeah,
that's a big one.
Yeah, it's got 3/4 acre with white sandy beaches. I mean, like sugar crystal beaches, white.
Wow.
White. Yeah, it's nice.
Hmm. Yeah, where is it again?
It's in Lake Placid, Florida.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's about it. That's that. By the way, the highlight of Lake Placid, Florida, I think, is
your place.
It's a quiet town. It's a quiet town. Let's see what else. Okay. So Brazil, there's been there was some allegations against the president that there was some kind of buying of votes back a few years ago and all as well. Their market didn't take it too well. Market was down.
I don't see why, be honest about it, but okay.
Down 5% in one day. Down 20% in the last 4 weeks on these election concerns. It looks like that the current president is in the lead again against the challenger, and they're really not very happy about that.
They're not happy. This current president is a kind of a socialist, I believe. Yeah, or anti-capitalist. Is that what I'm thinking?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. He's all in for.
That was a she.
Whoever it is, they are all in. Is it she? I guess it's a she. Russoff, right?
I don't know.
Russoff. Anyway,
I used to go to Brazil all the time.
Not anymore.
No.
No?
No. Mm. I haven't been there for a couple of years now, three years.
Maybe we should take a trip.
Nah.
I've never been there.
Oh, it's great. Really? You love it. Yeah.
I like Brazilian food.
The churrascarias are what you want.
Yeah.
They have the real ones in Brazil are a lot different than the fake ones here in the U.S.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going on a ship over Christmas. It has a churrascaria on the ship. It does. Very cool.
It's just funny because a real churrascaria is essentially a building on fire that has all this meat in there. And having one of these things on a ship just makes me laugh.
Yeah, putting the ship on fire would probably be bad.
Yeah.
Probably be bad.
It'll be a fake churrascaria.
I just clicked the button and I don't know what I did. I just really messed up something here. Let's see, switch this.
Well, you wanted to talk about Ebola. I know
that.
Yeah,
I do. What's up with that?
Some guy came in through, I guess it was Liberia, and with Ebola. And of course, the CDC promises would never happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened. And I thought it was up in the north, but I guess it's in Dallas where the Ebola is. And, it's probably not going to amount to much.
Well, the big thing was he didn't have any symptoms, I guess, when he first arrived. That's the big issue. Or he didn't have any symptoms when he left.
Well, he didn't have any symptoms on the plane either.
Right.
Or when he came off the plane. But, the plane ride is what? Where did he come from? Liberia to the U.S.? He probably had to take, I don't know what route he took. Whatever it was, it couldn't have been more than 20 hours.
Right.
So for about 20 hours, he's on airplanes. And then I guess, I don't know what the incubation period is. It's very short, but I guess he just, I don't know, everyone on the plane got lucky. The CDC refuses to name the plane. Anyone coming, it wouldn't take a genius to figure this out. There's not that many planes coming in from Liberia.
Right, exactly. Into Texas. Yes. This reminds me of the storyline for the TV show The Strain. Have you seen this?
No.
So a plane comes in and it's infected with this disease, which is essentially turns people into vampires, for goodness sakes. But nonetheless, the CDC was involved.
Seems far-fetched.
Yeah, a little far-fetched. But, they're saying it was some kind of an outbreak that's contained. The CDC was involved in the whole thing. And they cover the whole thing up to make it look like it wasn't anything and that nobody's believing him and all that. So I wonder. I'm just saying. Sometimes things like this happen. They get these kind of things on TV and it's reality. So I'm just saying, nighttime comes, keep a look.
Well, I'm not going to Dallas anytime soon.
Right.
Or Liberia.
Ah, that's a good thing. Stocks moved on this after hours. This one of the stocks out of Canada, Bio Pharmaceutical, it was up 21%. This is one of the stocks, the company, what's it called? Timken? Oh, what's the name of the stock?
What's
the symbol? TKMR.
TKNR.
MR. It's Techmira. Up 30%. Oh, it was up 30% after hours, actually.
Mm.
And this is a stock that has promised to have an Ebola, a cure for it, or at least something. And I guess it was, it's moved like this before, but it moved pretty substantially. And a couple others, BioCryst, it moved about 10%. And what was the other one? HEB. HEB moved. They are, which one is that now?
What's the symbol for BioCryst?
It's a BCRX. See, after hours, this stock was up. Hemispheres was up also 30%. A lot of 30%ers here.
What's the symbol?
HEB. Small company, but it could move.
Oh, this is a penny stock.
Yeah, you may like this one.
Yeah.
You may like this. So there is the thought that, hey, well, what's going on? Now, here's a question for you.
It's trading actively right on my screen.
How could I be doing that?
Well, I'm just seeing updates.
Really?
Yeah, just updated.
7:59. Maybe.
But I don't understand that because
it doesn't trade past 8 o'clock.
and the after hours is 0.42, and the 3209 is what this one is. It's not 3209. Huh. It was. I don't know why it made that change. I have no idea.
Anyway, maybe, here's something interesting.
Maybe there's some guy in the back room still, you know, writing down out the chits.
One more buy for Hemispheric. So now all this geopolitical turmoil. So we have Russia. We'll get to Hong Kong in a second. Middle East, Syria, all that stuff going on there, right, with the ISIL, ISIS, whatever it is. And now we have Ebola, which we knew about, but now all of a sudden traveling with it, right?
Yep.
Will the travel industry suffer? One thing I'll tell you is after hours also, many of the airlines did suffer. So let's take a look at like a Delta Airlines, for example. Delta Airlines was down 2.5% after hours.
Do they go to Liberia?
They must. I guess they probably do.
What is Delta?
American Airlines down 3%. DAL.
DAL. There it is.
Airline stocks are a really hot part of the year.
Yeah, it's only down a couple points.
Oh, I'm just telling you what it is. It's Continental lost 4%, Delta 3%, Southwest Airlines down 2%. Well, maybe because it's Texas. United Continental lost 4%. American Airlines is based in Texas. Let's see, Priceline fell 1% and Expedia fell ever so slightly.
I think Delta probably, knowing the market today, Delta Airlines fell because its symbol is DAL, which sounds like Dallas.
Ah, could be.
I mean, that's kind of craziness that goes on.
Yep, could be. But
it says Dallas. I'm selling it.
So who flies to you? Who flights
to Liberia?
To Liberia.
It's got to be the big boys. You know, United, I would think.
You go. Let's see here.
It's probably
Liberia, Africa. Let's go there because Liberia and Costa Rica as well. Delta.
Oh, is it Delta?
Delta, U.S. Air and Bahamas Air. Okay.
Well, here's flights to Liberia.
A lot of airlines have cut flights to Liberia. That's probably a good idea. More connecting.
23-hour flight from San Francisco.
23 hours from San Francisco. And from here, from New York, it's 24.
Oh.
You go through New York. You go to... Oh, this is from Fort Lauderdale. You go from New York to New York to Brussels to Dakar. I guess... Then you go to the next. It's a lot of hops.
Then you take the car.
You can go actually on Delta on Royal Air Maroc. You're going to Atlanta, Paris, and Casablanca.
That sounds safe.
Yeah. Yeah. Royal Air.
From Travel Zoo, I can get a $392 flight to Liberia.
Wow, that's
not
a steal.
Talking. Oh, here's the best deal: flight to Liberia for $256.
Flights, promotions,
cheap
Royal
Liberian
Air Maroc.
Round trip.
Let's see. Are they traded here? Royal Air Maroc. Oh, it's a Moroccan airline. Yeah. Anyway. So we'll see what happens. This could be interesting to take a look at some of these, you know, because you get this kind of concern. If you get one case is okay, right? One case, no problem. Okay. A weird
situation.
Oh, there'll
be a couple more cases. Let's face it.
I mean, the numbers of the outbreak that they're looking at, the potential for it, I mean, people are going to get nervous. This is where we get the, hey, you know what? This is, remember we had the gas mask trade? Remember we wanted to buy 3M way back when?
Right. That was a beauty.
Yeah. So, I mean, this could be one of those times also people are going to be wanting to buy latex gloves and gas masks and, you know, all sorts of maybe stun guns, tasers. Bet your taser was up. I'm not kidding.
This guy looks sick. Tase him.
Yeah, tase him. Taser.
Knock
let's
him
see.
Down.
Taser up a little bit today. But let's see here. Let's go back. All right. So what else is on the agenda to talk about?
Well, I think Hong Kong, these protests, which aren't being broadcast at all in China.
I know. It reminds me of something, doesn't it?
What?
Tiananmen Square.
Oh, yeah. Same, very much the same. Only this is a little bigger. This event is huge.
This is unbelievable. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people.
It's like everybody. The whole country, which is essentially a little country, a city-state, is shut down everything.
Well... The big problem here is that the protesters are the pro-democracy. There's like students again. And there's some conversation that's going on that is going to be in place in Hong Kong in a few years from now. Some of the, what we'll call them, non-democratic sorts in government. And Hong Kong, of course, is China, if you didn't know that. But it is, it operates under a bit of a different charter. They kind of, it's almost like China allows it. You know what I mean?
Well, they have to. They have no choice.
Well, but now one of the big questions is, after the firing tear gas and rubber bullets, is whether or not the China army is going to be coming in. And that could be ugly. Remember last time this happened with the tanks, and you got the picture of the guy in Tiananmen Square standing there and the tanks right in front of him.
Yeah, but that was domestic. That was all within China. This is outside of China. They'd have to bring the army in from the outside.
And will they?
No.
So Hong Kong doesn't have like an army?
Or I don't think so.
Navy?
It just has a huge police department.
Oh, okay. The Hong Kong police. It's like like Jackie Chan.
Yes.
He worked for them. Yeah. So what do you think? I mean, what is the well, you got a couple of things. I think the China markets are closed for the next week for China's something holiday.
Yeah, they have this walk-around holiday where I think this is the holiday where you're supposed to take a little trip. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but there's this holiday they have. It's a week long that's designed for people to take trips. Usually they'd go to Hong Kong, but I guess that's out.
Yep, out. Too much protesters. So, you know, what do you think is the upshot of this? I mean, these are all protests because of what the government is saying would happen, but this is off into the future. Is the government going to back down? Chinese government doesn't back down.
The protests specifically, from what I understand, watching news from Asia, is about the upcoming elections where all the candidates have to be pre-approved by Beijing.
Yeah, which would mean that there'd be a different
which
character.
Which means that some character that might be very popular in Hong Kong who could win might not get approval, and the public doesn't like this idea of being pushed around like this.
It's not democratic.
So they're protesting.
Yeah.
I think the Chinese can back off on this. There's no evidence in the mainland that it's even happening.
So the protests, you know, what I love about protests is when people are really pissed off about something and they protest, they burn their own houses down. Right? I mean, is that what's going on here? They're going to start looting and all that?
Or they're just that. This Chinese, they're more targeted. They don't. That's American-style protests. I'm irked. I'm burning down my house.
I never understood that. I just don't.
That's nuts.
Let's see what else. Do you see the pictures? Do you see some of these unbelievable pictures that are? Yeah. I mean, it's just like an ocean of people.
Yeah. No, it's astonishing. It's a kind of environment I don't recommend people getting involved with.
Right.
Because if the thing starts to turn, and you can get trampled and killed.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, and then you just...
If you're in a situation, just as a recommendation, since I'm familiar with rioting in the Bay Area, if you're in a situation where a riot might occur and the cops will run somebody down and people scramble, it's a herd mentality, always be around some large oak tree or some immovable object that you can just get behind, and then this flow will go right past you.
Did you... have you ever been in a situation where it's kind of like getting to that point? Where there's so many people, and you know you're scared that you know you're just going to be trampled.
Yeah,
it's unnerving.
Yeah, you want to stay out of that situation.
Yeah, it's very bad. I was at a Dolphins game one time, and I was outside of the on the first shelf out there, walking around to get to my seat, and it started raining, so everybody packed into the area that was undercover. It was very scary. I mean, I couldn't do anything. I was unable to move.
Yeah, you were stuck.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the worst part when you don't have the you're just helpless. You're out in the middle and you're helpless. You can't do anything. You just have to hope you don't. I mean, at least you're not up against a fence where the crush of the people would, mash you. You got people around you, which is, safer than being up against a brick wall.
Right.
But things should be avoided.
Yeah. And speaking about things to be avoided, California believes you should avoid single-use plastic bags. There's a law that was signed into effect today by our friend Jerry Brown.
Moonbeam.
Yep, that single-use plastic bags will be phased out of grocery stores and other retailers in California by 2016. Now,
it doesn't mean a thing to me.
What is a single-use plastic bag, and how do you identify that? Because it is possible that a single-use bag can be used more than once, don't you think?
Yes, we know what it is.
Tell me, because I don't.
It's been banned in Alameda County for over a year, or 2 years by now, and Berkeley's banned them for a while, and we haven't seen these for some time. It's annoying. The county started, and then the next county over did it, and it's a real flimsy bag,
This is like a sandwich bag?
No, it's that flimsy bag, the one if the wind catches it, it blows up and sticks up in a tree.
Oh, it's the ones that you get at the grocery stores with the handles?
Yeah.
So what are you going to go back
handles, to? It's just a couple of holes in the bag. They're real flimsy plastic bags.
Okay, and this is used by various stores and things like that, right?
If you go to the vegetable department and take one of those bags.
Oh, those, yes.
No, not those.
Not those.
That's a thick bag by comparison to the ones I'm talking about.
And where do you get these? You don't buy the bags. You get the bags to put something in when you buy something.
Yeah.
So what are they going to replace it with?
There'll be any grocery store that says paper or plastic. The plastic are those bags.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So now you're going to have just paper.
No, they'll sell you a reusable bag, which is about five times thicker than the old plastic bag, and you can bring it back and forth. What we have around here, which is kind of... I don't know. It's kind of creepy. Is everybody gets these cloth bags because the cloth bags from Trader Joe's and these various places that have been selling cloth bags for years. They come into the store with a pile of these cloth, beat up, old, dirty, horrible cloth bags, and then they stick their food in there. It's actually kind of creepy, and I've seen in one of the markets where somebody in Berkeley, somebody has no, they're really all in on the environment, and they don't even use the vegetable bags, so they just fill their cart up with raw, vegetables laying flopping around, and then they put all the stuff on the conveyor belt, just the peaches and onions and chives and everything you can imagine, and then the unbagged, and so God knows what germs are on the conveyor belt. They come off the end, they weigh everything, and there's a pile of just vegetables. And then they take these vegetables and stick them in these cloth bags and then take them home. And I just find this to be like, I don't know what century these people are living in, but it seems pretty old-fashioned.
What about the single or very... not multi-use gloves that people use. What about that?
What about it?
I mean, why don't they ban that?
Well, it's not that many people. There's because it's not those don't blow up into trees.
It's the trees is the issue here.
Well, I mean, if you've ever been to Israel,
yeah.
Or the Middle East, and you drive around in the countryside and you look around, it looks like all the trees are growing these things. There's so many of them up there.
Yeah. So that's going to be helping the environment. There's so many other things. What about I know they don't use them as much, but like lobster ribs.
Why are you asking me these questions?
I
have nothing to do with it.
It's insane. It's insane.
Well, it's too late now. You can expect this to happen in Florida shortly.
Oh, I'm moving.
I guarantee within a year, you have this law in Florida.
Hmm. Well, Ford, let's talk about them. Number two automaker is...
By the way, there might be a short on the bag makers.
Who's that? Same guys that make the gas masks.
They're probably from China.
Yeah. And it's probably a direct insult to them. Hmm. Anyway, the nation's number two automaker by sales, Ford, expects to report pre-tax profits of about $6 to $7 billion, which is about $1.5 billion less than they had forecast just in July. This is, I guess, the new CEO has been there for, I don't know, months. And he comes out with this little bomb.
Hmm.
That's a lot less revenue, don't you think, or profit? And one of the reasons they're talking about it is because they're higher costs for their input. That's really interesting, especially with the fact that we see commodities going down and the fact that the dollar is moving higher. Cutting your forecast from let's call it $6.5 billion down to
That means they're going to have a big bump because I'm sure the commodity drop didn't account for these months.
I don't know, but there's a significant amount of differential there.
I think there's a long opportunity here.
Well, it dropped 7%, so you may be able to get into that. And their numbers are just incredible, by the way. I mean, all the car makers, they popped back, sprang back, selling more cars than ever.
Yeah.
More cars
than
ever.
Nice cars out there.
Yep.
I saw a Ford the other day. I couldn't tell what it was. The logo on the back was like kind of scrambled. I couldn't even read it. It was a cute little thing. It was it's like an SUV that's kind of crunched. It reminded me of Nissan has a couple of weird looking or strange looking cars that are like SUVs, only they're very futuristic looking. This was kind of like that.
It's not that weird square one that's out there, is it?
No, no, that's the Flex.
Yeah, oh, that is horrible.
Yeah, I agree. I find it unattractive. It's probably roomy.
It could be, but that's about it. I mean, but then again, if you, let's see. They have the Escape, the Edge. The Edge, that's probably it.
I don't know. I'd have to look at pictures.
It's like a, somebody sat down on an SUV on the top of it.
I don't think it's the Edge, unless it's a new Edge, because I've seen the Edge before. Let me look.
They definitely have changed. It's an Escape.
Forge. Well, maybe it was the Edge, the new one.
Yeah. $19,000, $28,000 starting price.
Yeah, I think it was this. It was a good looking car. It was the new one. It's got a nice grill. It's got a nice little shape.
You know, it's interesting that my uncle used to work for Ford. And
did he get a deal?
Well, he's left a while ago, but he's still got his plans that he can give to himself and his family. Oh. There's the A plan, the X plan, all these different things. So if I walked into a Ford dealership and I said, okay, well, you know, let me let you know this is on one of these plans. Okay. So we looked at a car. Let's say it was $30,000, just as a number, okay? And I said, okay, well, we get the X plan, A plan, whatever it was. So, okay, well, to start with, you get like $8,000 off.
Okay? That's nice.
And then you get, do you have anybody that has in your family that has not had a Ford lease? I'm like, well, yeah. Okay, that's another like $3,000 off for a thank you for something. I'm like, I don't even understand what that was about, but okay. Then you get like, by the time I was done, it was like close to $9,000 off the price of this car.
Hmm.
And I thought, wow, that's pretty impressive. That's obviously all markup.
Yeah.
The margins.
That's what I would guess.
That's pretty impressive. And the A plan, I don't even know what that, or the other plan that he gets, which is the top plan. I mean, he must get like a 50% off on a car or something like that.
Well, that's the way it should be.
Yeah. So, well, watch forward, see what happens there. Walmart is now going on the offensive regarding the Tracy Morgan accident. You know, they're arguing that the comedian acted unreasonably in failing to wear a seatbelt. So,
in the backseat of a limo?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is, you know, this is kind of, listen, the job of a lawyer for a company is to tell you that it's never their fault, right? Isn't that basically their job? A corporate lawyer that works for a company, their job is just to go around and fight everybody and say, nope, it's not our fault, it's your fault. And I'll give you an example. My daughter rents an apartment in New York, and she decides that she's going to cook something in the oven. This is Father's Day. And she cooks something in the oven. She calls me up. She says, Dad, my oven's on fire. I said, Erica, you know, listen. I said, you know, down here you had electric. Up there it's gas. So, yeah, you're going to see fire coming out. She goes, no, you don't understand. It's really this fire coming out of my oven. I'm like, well, really? She says, yes, I don't know what to do. I said, well, did you try to kind of like pour water or something on it? What did you try to put it out? What do you do? I don't know what to do. What did you put in there? I didn't put anything. I put a metal, like a to-go thing in there. Not with, you know, put it in there and just put it on like a 250 or 300. And the thing is just, there's flames coming out of everywhere. I said, you know what? Why don't you leave the apartment? I said, why don't you leave the apartment, call 911 and get the people over there. She lives on top of or next to a bar. So go down to the bar, see if anybody can help you. Lo and behold, as you would think, there was a fireman in the bar.
Nice.
So, yeah, perfect. So he came up and he took a fire extinguisher from somewhere and put it out and all that. Now, long story short, as it turns out, probably what happened was that the prior tenant in the bottom of the oven, these old ovens that have the broiler on the bottom, probably left some plastic or something in there. Because I know.
Oh, yeah, that would happen. Yeah, that could be it.
She didn't put anything in there. So there's all this, you know, smoke damage and all that, and it gets cleared up. So now I get to talking to the lawyers for this company, this big real estate firm in New York, saying to me, you know, your daughter should be more careful what she puts in the oven. I said, well, she didn't put anything in the oven. Well, how do we know that? Well, because she moved in there. It's the first time she used it. Well, that's so. In other words, you're believing what your daughter says. I can't do that. I'm like, and he was really nasty about it.
Yeah, he's a nasty guy.
Yeah. So we went on and on for about 10 minutes till a point that got me to scream at him and shout all sorts of horrible words at him. Okay. Right. I felt so much better afterwards. Well, meanwhile, my daughter gets a letter that day, unrelated to my call. And basically saying it was all her fault, crying hysterically that they said she's a bad person. You know, this, yeah. I said, anytime you get legal stuff, don't take it personally, you know? And they replaced the oven, but we're waiting to find out what the deal is. Now, today I get a call this morning, emergency, or text, emergency call me. 8 o'clock in the morning, I call you. She goes, I go, what is happening? She goes, my ceiling fell down.
It's her fault.
Yeah, I said, what do you mean? Well, it seems that the upstairs shower from her was leaking a little bit. So like maybe a 3x3 piece of ceiling and everything just fell right down and woke her up this morning.
Yeah, that would happen. And, yeah, that's the great thing about apartment living.
Yeah. So, it's not funny. But anyway, so I'm waiting for the letter to come on that one.
Yeah, it's her fault.
It's her fault. You know, it's not your fault. It's not our fault. So anyway, that's what the job of the attorneys are. So now they're bringing a reply to this whole thing. I don't know. We'll see what happens with it. But I just find the whole legal system so upside down.
Yeah.
Not going to be good PR for Walmart. Nobody's going
to.
No, it's not a good thing. So
yeah, you have to always balance that into the equation.
Right. Did we talk about the iPhone bending yet? The iPhone 6 Plus?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, do you think it's designed to bend?
I don't think it bends. I mean, I guess you can make it bend, and I think it's over. It was used as a negative publicity thing for I think Samsung or something. I mean, I guess you could bend it under some circumstance, but just sitting on it, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, well, I held it in my hand, and it is enormous.
Yeah, no, I've played with both the six, the regular six, and the big one.
Right.
And the other one's big. I mean, the little one is big,
right?
And I think that's a nice size. I think it's a good size. The other one is just a Galaxy Note, from what I can tell. It's just almost a tablet.
I saw some interesting benchmarks comparing the iPhone 6, the iPhone 6 Plus, the iPhone 5S, and the Galaxy. And the iPhone 6 actually had some better results. The battery was better on the iPhone 6 Plus because obviously it's a bigger battery. But the screen resolution, the processor speed, all that was pretty impressive.
I don't know why people, what you need such processor. What's this processor speed going to do for you?
I'm doing calculations. I mean, I'm doing, you know, major calculations with my spreadsheets on my iPhone. No, I'm only kidding. I have no idea.
I'm thinking.
The only thing I guess you would need.
I guess for the video.
Maybe for the video. And you know what? With this new revolution of tiny houses, have you seen this? People living
in. Yeah, it's been going on for a while. It's pretty funny.
150 square foot home?
Yeah, I know. There's a TV show about this.
That's what I was watching. I was just absolutely, it was hysterical. The guy's going to move into a 150 square foot home, and to get him ready, they put him in a 92 foot square home for a week, and the guy freaked out.
I'd freak out. I can't even live in a 150 square foot bedroom.
Right. And, you know, they talked about
some room here, you know,
It's great with modern day because what you could do is you could take your iPhone and use this little projector thing and just project it on any wall. You don't need a TV. this is what they're talking about. And you can take it wherever you go because it's usually on some kind of a cart. And it looks so silly. It looks like a little troll house or a little, you know, a munchkin house.
It looks like a tool shed.
Yeah. That's what it is.
They used to make cottages, and I think there's like the town I'm in. There's still cottages around that are one-bedroom houses. And maybe the square footage of the place is 500 or 600 square feet, maybe, or maybe more. And then there's two-bedroom places you can still find in little communities that are 1,200 square foot or 1,000 square foot. But that's reasonable. I mean, 150 to 200 square feet is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's inclusive.
And in the show, they have them all here. You have to get rid of all your clothes.
Right.
And you got to use a dish, like a washer dryer that is so small you can only wash two pairs of socks at the same time. I mean, it's dumb.
And they're going on how this is a revolution. This is something that it's going to be, you know, big, very, very big, this tiny house thing. Because people, what do you need all the stuff for?
Well, I was thinking about what I think would be kind of cool is you'd get about three. By the way, these houses are very expensive on a square foot basis. But say you got about three of these little places. And there is another, it's a counter revolution. It's the idea of putting a house inside of another structure. And so you find a giant Quonset hut someplace and you put inside the Quonset hut, you fix the Quonset hut so it's like a little town, and you put these little huts, these little small tiny houses inside the Quonset hut, and that's kind of your home, which is the giant Quonset hut, and the you know, one house might represent one bedroom. It's just, it'd be kind of a crazy indoor-outdoor thing. It'd be very great for entertaining.
Yeah. Now, can you take, is there a door big enough that you could drive your tiny house out of it if you want to go somewhere?
Well, I don't know why you'd want to do that, but it would should be. Yeah, there's a lot of these Quonset huts that have these, I mean, they're these big, there's one I've been looking at up in Washington State that I keep, it's abandoned. And it's huge. You could put a big house inside that thing.
And what's the difference between a tiny house and a nice RV?
Probably about 300 square feet.
Oh, an RV is that much bigger.
I know an RV is not big at all, but the RV, at least you can go, you can, you know, it's, I don't know. The tiny house, you're stuck on the property.
Yeah.
It's just dumb.
Yeah, I don't get the whole thing. Just another TV show. But
yeah.
Now, just speaking about AT&T for a second. So in my new house, there's a couple of areas that have no service.
Cell?
Cell service, yeah.
Oh, yeah, get Verizon.
Well, did I talk to you about this at all?
No.
So I had to go to AT&T. They have something called the microcell. You hook it up to your...
A femto cell.
Yeah.
Is it a femto or a micro?
It's called micro.
No, it should be. Okay.
So what you do is you hook it up to your Wi-Fi, and you got to get some kind of geo approval or whatever.
No, this is no good.
And then it gives you five bars. And it actually works when you're in the house. It definitely makes a clear, crisp reception. You don't have any leakage. And when you leave the house, it's off. When you come back in the house or in the vicinity, it's back on. You have to approve up to 15 different phone numbers that you can approve on it that can hook up to this thing. And your phone just does it automatically.
Okay.
$150, but there's no cost on a monthly basis for AT&T. Well, why not? Because they were not using their network anymore.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's not, I don't, yeah.
So now I get charged $150 to not use their network so I can have coverage where I should have it anyway.
Yeah, that's why you get Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing about the new Verizon, Leo had this on the Twitch show. He had one of these phones, and it turns out that if you buy, and I've seen this with Windows phones, there's a lot of Verizon phones, which are CDMA, and they're specific to the Verizon network, and they're not, they don't have SIM cards, but they have a SIM card slot apparently for the some downloading or some other network that they use for data. And that SIM slot, you can put a regular, like an AT&T card, AT&T card in it or a T-Mobile card in that slot, and it's not locked. So you're getting unlocked phone. You buy the Verizon phone, and you also have an unlocked GSM phone that you can use on Europe, or if you go, move someplace else, you want to go back to AT&T or use a monthly plan or one of these pay-as-you-go plans from T-Mobile, which are dirt cheap. It'd be a great product to own.
I don't know why. We're one of the only countries, or a few of the countries, that you know we're unfortunately required to have a locked phone. Around the world, you don't have these locked phones.
No. Yeah, no, it's just part of the overall scam.
Yeah. Now, I know you don't think these things hold any water and any benefit, but the Hindenburg omen just confirmed.
Oh, you mean after hearing the bear flag analysis that we had like about a year ago?
Yep. We mentioned something like this last week, but it fully confirmed. And there's a chart I sent you. Basically, there's a lot of signals you get with this. And we talked about the bear flag last week. Why did we talk about that?
No, we didn't talk about the bear flag last week. It was a while ago we talked about the bear flag.
Yeah, but we brought it up in a conversation.
You talked about the bear flag with somebody else, not with me.
Oh, hmm. Anyway, the Hindenburg...
That's another thing I think is bogus.
Well, the Hindenburg omen strikes only rarely. You get a couple of signals here and there when things line up, but if you get two of them within a 36-day period, that pretends that you will have a market crash, correction, very big decline within 40 days. Now, I don't know how you count all this and how you look at all this, but the last time, if you look at the chart I sent you,
yes,
called it right in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean?
It predicted the housing crash somehow.
Yeah. Somehow.
Yeah.
Very smart indicator. It's kind of weird because if you look at the actual calculation of this, it's like all these little things have to come into play. Like, how did you figure this out? Like, what was that? Where did that come into play, you know?
I think it's all reverse engineered.
If it is, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's a big problem.
Yeah, reverse engineering. A lot of people do that when creating strategies for trading. Very bad. Very, very bad. We create strategies, but never reverse engineer. Let the strategy just run. If it runs, it runs. Anyway, let's get to some of the stocks. We're at that point of the program.
Oh, yes.
And we'll talk about some of the stocks we have. This is not an offer to buy or sell any security. And, of course, this is a game that we play. If you have any inclination to buy anything that we're talking about, don't until you see a qualified financial advisor, analyst. And, of course, myself, John C. Dvorak, or Horowitz Company clients may own these, and we'll duly note those. So still looks like I don't think anything stopped out since we talked about it last week. Your Pandora's starting to hit nicely. It's up 6.5%. Twitter's up 2.5%. Scientific Games holding on very nicely. Oh, I think Ariad Pharmaceuticals did actually bust. You see that? We'll mark that. El Pollo Loco, which just doesn't want to go down, this darn stock. It's just a problem.
Yeah, you shorted it.
Yeah, but it's up 3.5% on the short. But nonetheless, we'll see what happens. Yahoo, there was some news, something going on after hours. They got $9.4 billion from Alibaba, and there was something else in the news, and it was down after hours, but it was up a little bit today. But we're still up 3.5% from the short on that. Down 13% on the nugget trade. That's the gold miners. We have a 15% stop on that, so that could stop out tomorrow very easily. KB Home short up 3.88%. That, unfortunately, one day too late on that. That was down about 5 or 6% when we bought it, by the time we bought it. Zodius up 12%, Acorn up 35%. So, you know, the top line is still doing pretty well, getting some reds here and there on some others. Do you have any great insider deals going on?
No, not really. There's just nothing really hot, it looks like. I'll get a couple ideas. I mean, one of them, this character, I have to look him up. AGCO.
AGCO.
Yeah, one of the directors. I don't know if you've been in that before, because this guy's been buying like crazy. In fact, he's, which says something, he bought, let's just go, February, he bought $17 million worth of stock. He had 51. And then he bought $3 million and $1 million and then $8 million at 51 and then $13 million at 51. And now he bought $14 million at 45, so he's buying into a decline. And then he declined more, so he bought another $26 million.
Well, what, do you see the number? This can't be right. 1 hour ago, the AGCO, what number is that? $2 billion he bought?
Over time, maybe.
He acquired $2.6 billion. Is that $600 million? 1 second. $260 million. No, I think it's two. Is it $2.6 billion?
I don't see that. I don't have that one on my list.
Director Milica Shrivenson acquired 560 in the open market on Monday.
Okay, well, he bought $1 billion worth at 51.
26 million. Last year. 26 million.
He's just buying and buying and buying. Like every dollar he's got, he's buying more. And I don't see that as doing anybody any good.
Well, what's going on with this? Why is it? There's something going on with this. We'll see what this stock is. It's agricultural equipment and related parts. I wonder if they're going to be bought by like a Deere or a.
Oh, that's a possibility.
Maybe Kabuto. No, they couldn't buy it. Yeah,
this may be in the throat of a buyout. Something's. That would make sense. But he's been doing this for like. I mean, just for a number of years, he's been buying like crazy. And he never sells, ever.
140 countries, protein production systems, distribution, grain storage, handling equipment.
Now let's put it on. Why not?
AGCO.
Yeah, I'll go long on that and see what happens. It's just too crazy. AGCO. I mean, it could go down to 30, just be keep buying and buying and buying.
All right.
I want a short GoPro. And Janus, just based on today's show.
Yeah, Janus is probably a good play. That's probably a really good play. All right, let me just put this. You're going to buy this. Insiders. Big buys. Put those in notes here. Okay, let's put a little insert a row above. I think that's a good play there. Insert a row above. Okay, so we got Janus, JNS. And we got GoPro. Okay, got it. And you got a short GoPro and short Janus.
Right. So I'm back in the short trail.
Yeah, there you go. Get back in the saddle.
That's because of the Hindenburg.
All right, so let's see. Janice is just overdone, I guess. Overdone.
Yeah, overbought.
And GoPro is what? A fad?
No, I don't think it's a fad. I just think the stock's too expensive.
Okay, valuation, we'll call it, right? Yeah. Valuation. Okay.
I mean, it could double. It's probably not a bad long if it comes down a little bit.
I can't imagine. I just Janus Capital, GoPro. Okay, there we go. We are in. You have it in there, so we'll have it. This is going to be for 10-1, 14. We buy it on the morning. Okay, good. 10-1-14, 10-1-14. Okay, we got it in. I don't have anything this week. There's enough going on right here. Wait for this to clean up a little bit, see how this all plays out.
All right.
And we'll go from there. So that's going to end this really action-packed show, and I am going out to get my gas mask this evening and my taser.
Okay, well, unfortunately, next week I'm going to be at the Adobe Max conference on Tuesday.
Oh.
So I won't be able to do the show. So we have to put it, so people have to wait 2 weeks.
Oh, poor fellas.
And then we'll be back on track after that.
All right, well, I'll talk to you then. Have a good time. I'd like to hear back from what happens at the conference.
Okay, adios.
All right, bye-bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.